previously on the original Kings of Podcasting.
Yeah, this is Suzanne Hayward-Bay, Podsultan.
Hi, Suzanne. It's Mark, and I have Todd with me as well.
Yeah, I'm here. For a whole bunch of shit.
Mark, oh yeah, hi, how's it going?
Hi, I'm great. I thank you so much for picking up. I had sent you a couple texts. I just figured I would try giving you a call. I have Todd here with me. He's my co-host on the show that I sent you those five links to those five shows.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to see if you had gotten a chance to listen to them, and we would love your sage Podsultan wisdom on... We're about to record the next five.
Yeah.
We would love to know what you thought.
Like, I don't really... I think we
Hold
did a great...
Hold on a second.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, like, sorry, Mark, I just can't put...
She came from.
Todd, just let her talk, all right? Like, we're bringing...
Yeah, no, I've got some good show... I mean, you hired the Podsultan. Mark made a really smart choice with that.
Mark hired...
I really would love to review the show notes I made with you guys.
Great. I would love that. I really am excited to hear what you thought. I mean, yeah, as you know, we're releasing all these things at once, and we're really not going to have any visibility.
All right. I got two more ideas for you. This one, wine... I mean, God, Gary Vaynerchuk, so good.
What?
And like,
wait, what?
Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah, that
How
guy.
Did you get that from what she said?
I'm listening. So I'm an active listener.
What is Gary Vaynerchuk?
Yeah.
It's just
let me and Mark talk for a second, Todd, okay? So the money's here with the wine. Like, rich people love wine, so it's going to be great. You can get like top shelf sponsors for this one. Great conversion.
I don't care to have money made from this. I just want to make something entertaining. I don't care if some guy that's like, hey, I'm amazed by its presumption on the wine is going to be into my show.
It's about the ROI. Like, you guys, you know, you need to return on your investment, right?
I completely agree.
The investment in this isn't that much. I just want to entertain people. I got back with Mark. We had a conversation in a fucking bar where I was like, we're going to do original Kings of Podcasting. We're going to bring back podcasting to what matters from the clutches of this consumerist bullshit and this lack of creativity. And now you're throwing me into doing a wine show?
Welcome back to the Tasting Lounge. This is Mark, and we're talking about... We've been tasting a Malbec, and this has been a French Malbec. If you're just joining us,
the original Kings of Podcasting, starring Mark Chambers and Todd Petty. Season 2, Episode 2, The Lake.
Hey guys, it's Suzanne Hayward-Bay, the Podsultan. Thanks for sending over the first show. I just really wanted to touch base and let you know I'm going to have to let you go. I mean, seriously, Todd, having on a womanizing, insulting, quote-unquote relationship expert as a guest to broaden your audience? And Mark, really... rehashing material you did in 2009? You're both hopeless. And I swear to God, these notes you sent for me for shows you want to tape? The horror show should never, ever be recorded. Please do not record these shows. Great. Okay, so guys, thanks and good luck with your little show and everything, and God bless.
What is this lake called?
El Dorado. It's like we're in the big nature preserve, and it's cool that my neighbor Zeke, he had this boat here you could lend us so we could just get away from it all.
Yeah, this is pretty chill.
And he said, the funny thing is, he said jump in the boat, and you'll find two sticks with the twine on them, and he said that, you know, they stock it with cod. And he said that the best way to do it is actually, you don't need your fancy reels and you know, shit they caught jaws with. You just need like a stick and some string, and you just put a little bit of cheese on it, And then the cod, they just come up biting, you know.
I've never fished.
Well, here you go.
In my life. Well, I went out on a boat with my grandfather.
Oh, that's a good fishing tale.
That's a good fishing tale.
Hemingway.
I got so sick. It was an inboard outboard. You know how boats are?
I have no idea. No, what's...
So an inboard outboard is, it's an outboard. It's got the motor on the back, but there's just no top to it. It's just kind of boat hull.
It's exposed.
Yeah, and you're just kind of hanging out.
All right.
And an inboard outboard is, half it's like that, but then there's also like a compartment in the front. Like you can go inside.
Oh, you can kind of go down in beneath.
Yeah, but you still...
If there was a storm or...
But you still drive it from the back, right? Like, there's no, like, wheel up front where you're, like, full.
Oh, like the flipper boat.
Yeah.
Like, come on, flipper!
You can still kind of drive it from the... Yeah, so I went out on that, and I was like, I'm going to be a boat guy. Yeah. I was 8 years old.
And it never stuck?
I just got so violently ill being on the water. Oh, yeah. This is nice, but... When the boats are rocking,
there's not a big wake, you know. When you have just like a little, you know, rowboat here, just, you know, I've fished when I was five. I went out. My old neighbor worked for Big Five Sporting Goods, so they used to have like a fishing boat that they would go out once a year. So she was like, "Oh, I'll take you and your sister," and I was like five, and so I have a photo of me in like the complimentary Ringer T-shirt they gave out in 1982. It's like strand reels, and I caught a barracuda.
Mm.
Now, when you're five, you're what, 2.5 feet tall.
Yeah.
Barracuda's like 18 inches and has teeth, right? So I'm just like, I got the fish, you know, I got my pole, and I'm fishing, and this thing starts biting on it, and I'm like, oh shit! So I dropped the pole. On this, right off, and this is, you know, $100 pole in 1982.
Yeah.
Everybody freaks out. So eventually they retrieve the pole, and on it is a massive barracuda, like, like the fish you'd see in a B version of a Jaws movie.
Sure.
Like, barracuda.
Sure.
You know, so I caught that, and there's a photo of me as a kid going, you know, with the fish. So that's actually, I think the last time I fished,
Yeah, I don't know. What are we doing? Right, like, what the hell are we doing anymore? Did you hear Obama on Marin?
Yeah. It's good.
It's good, right?
It's good. It's good. I mean, it's good.
It's pretty fucking good.
It's good, you know?
It's good.
C-O-O-D.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
I mean, Marin got him to that Marin place that Marin can do. Now, yeah. I mean...
Marin got him to say the N-word.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was big. It's a big deal.
Yeah. Maybe we should say the N-word on the show, maybe.
I mean,
get the president. Was when the president said, like, because I heard the interview.
It was like the N-word heard around the world.
Yeah, it was the biggest N-bomb.
Yeah.
In the history.
U.S. drops N-bomb.
Now, how did you...
unsuspecting podcast audience.
How did you feel when you heard that? Like, I ask you and then I answer the question.
Yeah.
It's life with me, right?
Yeah.
But I thought I heard it, and at first I thought, whoa, that's jarring.
Yeah.
When anybody drops the N-bomb, it's jarring.
It's jarring.
Second point of me was immediately into what are the political ramifications? Yeah. Not how did that make me feel?
Yeah.
Or because I feel like even as president of the United States, you need to be so almost PC about everything.
Yeah.
And safe that it made me feel awkward being that There's a guy just running wild, running the country. Like I almost had that brief thought to myself, and then I thought, well, actually it was kind of cool, because half of him can kind of do it. Right. and so
he's half allowed.
Hopefully, if it wasn't the white part saying the N-word.
I hope it wasn't. That would be awkward, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
If we found out later, like when he like writes his book,
white
he's like, actually that was the white part of me that said that. So you should have all been really offended.
Right.
Yeah.
Joke's on you, America.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was weird, but then I thought it was, in the context of the interview, appropriate.
Yeah.
But still, I could see how other people... But the thing is, the people who were anti-Obama, who'd get really angry are the same people who are probably comfortable using the N-word themselves. So you look at the there's no real winner. You know, there's no real loser in the situation. The winner.
Marc Maron.
Yeah.
Marc Maron. That'd have been sweet, right? Have Obama come out to the shed.
I think, yeah.
Yeah,
in right. This hot little room.
This hot little room. Probably would have had to put a little box fan in for him.
I was nervous when we did the show where we interviewed Corolla.
Yeah.
On a.
Yeah. 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 Back in the day.
Back in the day. And I was sitting there like, I had a friend listen to that show once, and they go, "Your voice sounds totally different."
Yeah.
And I said, "No, you just didn't hear me talk. That was my buddy talking the entire show."
Yeah.
Because I've actually, that's the only podcast I've ever done that I've never not listened to.
I haven't listened to that one back either. But I do remember I'm not a great host, right? Like I'm a middling host.
Yeah. All right. That's you.
Okay. That would be my opinion of myself. I'm like fair to middling at best, right? And I really felt like I was being pushed way outside my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Like I had so it was right before the mics went on that show. The producer.
Who was it?
I don't remember the producer's name, but he pops out of the booth because we had to do it at Corolla's studio. And he pops out of the booth and he says, "Adam, remember, this is their show, not yours." And Adam's like, "Oh, right, got it."
Yeah.
And then he goes back and the producer disappears and then they're like, "All right," and then they like cued us through the window to start. And I was just like, that, I suddenly like panicked,
yeah.
Right? And I was just terrified. And then I was like, oh man, I'm going to really lean on Todd for this one.
Bad idea. Well, I couldn't even get, I'm not going to cut off Adam Carolla.
Right.
And the thing is now when you have another person in the room, the nonverbal cues are different.
Yeah.
Like me and you, we've done it for so long that there's a unspoken kind of vibe you're both working on. You understand the nonverbals. You know how to kind of move a show along.
Yeah.
Same thing, working with other people. Like David DeMarco.
Yeah.
On the recent episode. And so with Adam, it's not like he was looking at me or you.
No.
And so to go, okay, I have something to say or whatever, there wasn't like an open thing. So in the first 15 minutes of interacting, it was like, oh, wait, now I got to kind of jump in here. And we had a whole bit prepared, I remember, that was Adam was going to referee the fights that you and I had on the show.
Yeah.
And we didn't even get to that.
No.
And it was like, we're going to hit on real quick on what Adam's doing and then make it about the former show.
Yeah.
And I was just waiting, okay, let's get to this. This is good prep.
Yeah.
And then we can fight with Adam and it's going to be a whole thing.
Yeah. And then
it never happened.
And then in hindsight, like, we should have been more confident in going to him before we did the show and saying, we want to do this bit and we want to get to this. Like you would if you had a guest coming in on any show, right?
Right.
But it was that, like, total lack of confidence and lack of hosting ability, and it was just a humbling experience, right?
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It really felt like we were on the cusp of breaking into something.
And then it kind of hit a wall, weird wall. Here's the funny thing was that we had Adam Carolla on our show that day.
Give me into that cooler there. Let me get one of them bad boys.
Gotta shake that ice off. We had Adam Carolla on the show, and at the same time we did a show with the Pretty Good Podcast. Same day.
Oh, that was right. That was our marathon.
Our marathon day, and the more popular show that got more downloads.
Yeah. A low-budget, pretty good podcast was the name of it.
Got double the downloads of having Adam Carolla as a guest.
Yep.
I don't know what that says. Well, Gina Grassman.
Gina's an attractive woman.
Well, Gina's now, you know, bringing all those big numbers to Adam, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
She could do that.
What the fuck are we doing? That's my question. We're sitting on a boat. We're on a lake. We're supposed to be taping the show right now.
Bombed the first season. I mean, I'm just doing this.
Why did we drop them all at once?
It was kind of like spilling, like you had one beer, right?
Yeah.
Like you had $6, you went to the beer, you went to the bar, another beer for Mr. Perry, and you spilled your beer. And you worked 6 months to buy this beer.
Yeah.
And then you just spilled the beer.
Yeah.
And then the beer's gone.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. And now we got... We thought we were good at this, and then we didn't know what this was anymore. And now it's this whole thing that it became without us. As we're sitting there going, oh, we're refining this, we're going to do this whole... So then we're like, oh, well, we're desperate to reinvent it and be like fucking Jay-Z's comeback, the Blueprint 3, I'm back, I'm fucking telling everyone how it is. And
I remember that email.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's kind of like, all right, well, thanks, guys. You know, we were all kind of nervous that we were going to feel obligated to listen to your shit because we used to like you.
Yeah.
And it's just that, I don't know. Now what are we doing? Look at Taylor Swift, man. Look how big she is.
I mean, not physically.
No. I'm just saying she's a cute girl. Writes all her own music.
Yeah, I'm sure she writes every note.
She does. I mean, it's just, you know, she's paid well.
Sitting there writing her own music.
Yeah, she's on the tour bus.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, man, songwriters didn't date all those people and break up with them and write songs about it. Taylor did.
Right. You know, I'm all right with Taylor. The thing is that the reason why Taylor Swift is a big deal is because she's actually the only musician.
What do you mean?
If you count, like, people selling music, people listening to music,
yep.
Things have gone to such shit that it's actually just one person making music that people are buying, or is that actually... Like, the rest of it's just running on smoke and whatever.
Is that how you feel about podcasting? If you had to say that about podcasting, who's making that... Who's making that cut?
No, everybody's, you know, because it's free. Everybody's stealing our material... Everybody's just, you know, doing it. So, I mean, well, the thing is, everybody's doing it. So it's like, you know, why do it?
Yeah.
But, I mean, Taylor has a thing. Taylor's cute. Like, the thing is, though, I couldn't, like, rub one out to Taylor.
Why is that?
It's like, she's like your sister.
She's 23.
I know, but it's like you're, you know, she's like America's sweetheart. It's like rubbing one out to Annette Funicello in 55, you know?
It's like you grew up with her a little bit.
Yeah, now, Katy Perry.
Yeah. Well, they got beef.
Well, I don't, she might be a relation to me, so I don't...
Oh, right.
Maybe like, could same, be a cousin.
Same last name.
Yeah, I mean, if we're both Trail of Tears Native Americans, then...
Katy Perry is not... That's not her real name.
Well, she chose it, which is smart. It's a good last name.
Yeah.
Fair.
So I think you'd be okay. Yeah. She's single.
Not jerking off that shark. Oh! Wait.
You got something?
I think. I mean, I don't know what this feels like.
I don't know.
It's like Forrest Gump having an orgasm when I fish. Like, he doesn't know what's happening. I don't know.
I don't really... I actually don't know how to work.
You see that tug on the line?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do whatever this is that happens next on your own.
I don't know. It's done.
Oh, it's stopped?
Yeah, it could be. They talk about, like, people in the neighborhood, they talk about it, the lake here. The El Dorado eel.
The El Dorado eel.
Yeah. Like, it's like an eel, right? It's like big, and it has that, like, dumb chick look that an eel has. Like, you ever have someone talking to you? Like, when you check out at the 99-cent store.
Yeah.
And the person's looking at you, and you're like...
There's, like, no one in there.
And then you're like, you haven't blinked in like 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? And they're just like looking at you.
Yeah.
The El Dorado eel's like that, but it's kind of like a dark purple color. You know, it's like a big snake. Well, that's what they say. And then they say that every once in a while, it pops up and it eats coyotes.
It eats coyotes?
So the coyotes in the neighborhood, they'll go like take a dip, like, you know. Like, relax after eating rabbits or squirrels.
Sure. Well, they got to chill, right?
Yeah, neighborhood dogs. I mean, like us. They're just fucking like, what am I doing? I'm going to go hit this pond here.
What am I, what are we doing?
And get my fangs wet.
Yeah.
And get my hind regions wet.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my muzzle wet.
Yeah.
And it gets in there, and then fucking people have been sitting out, and, you know, they're looking for the, you know, fucking Eldorado cod, whatever. Not knowing what to expect. Like, fuck, coyote. We're on water.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. Not like coyotes jumping in boats.
Right. No.
And fucking just...
That's the eel.
The eel coming in.
Yeah.
Taking that sucker down.
Oh, shit.
And then here's what I was told. I was told by this guy at the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Eldorado bar.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a guy said he saw the fucking eel swimming. You know, like a snake, how that, like, it eats an egg, and you just see this big egg shape in the snake?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was a fucking wolf, like a coyote, inside it as it was swimming, and you could see its head, ears... its muzzle.
The fuck?
Its hind regions inside of the eel.
What the That makes... That's the most terrifying thing I've ever heard.
So you hear anything... I mean, we're on a big lake. So if shit bumps, you hear like a... Hit that boat.
Yeah. That's how you know. Has it ever... Does it... I mean, we're just... How do you ward it off?
I don't know. There's no way. I think that fucking coyote's smarter than us.
That's true. Coyote, new and noteworthy on iTunes this week. Coyote cast.
Wily. Any beast known for its wiliness?
Yeah.
Smarter than us humans.
What is... Would you... So, let's say I came to you. Well, let's say you're, you know, still in your prime.
What?
Well, I mean,
I'm out of my prime.
Let's just say you're still in your prime.
You rolled up this place. You know.
Let's just say you're still in your prime. And
I mean, what constitutes prime, though?
I don't know.
Is prime like I'm 22, I can drink all I want, or is maybe I'm older, I have more cash? Is prime like I'm creating great things? Maybe I'm not in my creative prime right now. Maybe
I don't know.
That happened 10 eps into low budget FM.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the, you know, 100th episode of Far Up. You know, whatever. Maybe it's the Brian Whitman shit.
So let's just say whatever it is, you're there, right?
Yeah.
I come to you.
Lucky you finding me in my prime.
I know. I'd have been a contender. Could have rode that horse all the way to fame.
Yep.
And I come in and I say, hey, you're in your prime. Which means you're single.
I can see you just priming right now. You've got the aura of prime.
Oh, shit, boat. Shit.
All right. Just relax.
Calm down, boat.
Mics. Oh.
Calm down, boat. Are we good?
We're stable. Just having a beer.
I only took 2 Dramamines.
There's no puking on this 3-hour tour.
Okay. So you're in your prime. I see you from across the room. No. Let's build this hypothetical world. We know each other. We're friends.
Okay. All right.
We're not like super close, but like, you know.
Yeah.
We're close enough where I can pull this move. I walk up and I'm like, hey, you're in your prime.
Yeah. Okay.
And you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
I nice. Know.
Thank you for noticing. Because
you know when you're in your prime.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I go, see that girl over there? I point. So then you look. You look at my finger. And I'm like, no, look where I'm pointing.
Yeah, I'm like a dog.
Like
or
a dog.
Coyote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, look where I'm pointing. And then you look.
Yeah.
Because you're in your prime. You nailed that
That's
shit.
Just on top of...
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
Like, you know...
Minor course correction. You can hang.
Yeah. You just totally understand other people's nonverbal gesticulations.
Yeah. It's just like, look over there. And you look.
Yeah.
And just boom. And I'm like, look at her. You see that girl over there?
Yeah.
Her name's Tiffany.
Oh, it goes both ways, man.
Hmm.
Tiffany is either a rich girl from Pasadena, just some poor white trash from Lawndale, California. You know what I'm saying? It's either way. There's nobody in the middle named Tiffany. Nobody in this neighborhood is named Tiffany.
So I don't know. I don't know how it's spelled. So I can't tell you your first
There's
question.
There's only one way.
Why aren't I?
Well, if she's the low end girl, I.
Okay.
For sure.
She dotted in with a heart, though.
Oh, with a pink pen.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
On her peachy folder. So I said, look at Tiffany over there. You see her?
Yeah.
Imagine her.
I keep thinking of Pensatucky from Orange is the New Black. Sorry, you don't watch that show. Anyway,
she's
continue.
So Tiffany's into you.
Oh.
I was talking to Tiffany. She's friends of the host, so I met Tiffany.
Then I would be in my prime.
And you're in your prime, as we stated.
Remember, everything's golden.
Remember, yeah, you're a golden god of prime.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she's into you. Here's the thing about Tiffany. Someone gave me the tip. Someone gave me the heads up on. She's kind of wily. And that's all I can give you. Her name's Tiffany. She's right over there, and she's kind of wily. And you're in your prime.
And I'm looking at her. She's attractive as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you into it? No, the data point of kind of wily.
Oh, kind of. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I'm thinking of her in rodeo terms.
Okay.
Like, not just how long can you stay on sexually.
Mm-hmm.
How long can you stay with her socially?
Mm.
Because I've been with women before that were the kind of girls that roam in packs, like the coyote.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, I had a girlfriend, and like she couldn't go anywhere without having 20 people around her, right? Mm. Like it would be like, oh, let's go to the club. Okay, yeah, cool.
Mobbing out to the club.
And then she would have to invite 50 people, so you never got to hang out one-on-one until the drive home.
Yeah.
And then you got her home, and she was, you know, too tired to do whatever.
Or too drunk.
Too drunk, or she had to call people.
Yeah.
You know, her friend had a problem. Oh, she's got a text. She's
Beth's having a meltdown.
She's having a meltdown because of Sean.
She ran into her ex, and he was with his new beau.
Sean's always that way.
You know, and I just got to talk her down, you know.
And then the whole thing, you're like, I'm just going to go to sleep. Then that's when you start getting all passive aggressive. I'm just going to go to sleep. And she's like, well, why are you so mad at me? I'm just being a good friend. And you're like, because you never have time for me.
Yeah. But she's kind of wild.
Yeah, I've dated a couple of those.
Yeah.
One of them just had a kid.
Yeah. Is he kind of wily?
So you getting with her? You getting with the wily girl? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you're not in your prime anymore.
I'm encountering you in your prime, but I'm not in mine. So okay. You're kind of taking that into...
Are you working up to your prime, or are you post... I mean, did you peak early? Because, some people hit their prime at 7. Some people are like Mark Twain, and they hit their prime at like 70. You know?
I'm post-prime, I think, at this point.
Okay.
Like 26, 25. Little do I know, I'm past my prime.
Okay.
I think I haven't hit my stride yet. I'm not even prime. Okay. Stride.
Stride and prime are two different
things.
They're
very different. You stride into your prime.
No. Because I hit my prime earlier, but I'm hitting my stride right now.
Oh, because it's effortless. You're just kind of pimp walking through the rest of life.
I got it all. Like, I'm only dealing... Now, I had this thought last night that I'm only dealing with nuances now.
Mm.
The big dragons have been slayed.
So you're kind of locked in.
Well, no, I mean, it's a locked in of my choosing.
Right.
But now I guess
dialed in is the better.
It's a game of subtlety now. Now if I do something creative, it's like I'm working on subtle things versus like just trying to figure out how to put the whole package together.
Yeah.
I feel like I know how the package works. Now I'm working on the subtleties.
Yeah.
Now, but the problem is when you're in your prime, you shit gold, no matter what, right?
Yeah.
You walk into a bar and you got a full head of hair, and you don't give a fuck.
Yeah, you're just gold. You're just good.
No mortgage. You know, whatever. Just shit and gold, and you don't know it until that shit is gone, and then you have to put it together for hit your stride.
I feel like what you're going through right now is when you're in your prime.
I'm not going through anything. I hit my stride.
Well, no, but like what you're describing right now.
Okay.
Is when you're in your prime, you might not know it. You probably don't know it.
No, you don't know it.
You don't know. And other people are like, bro.
When you're turning people down sexually, you're in your prime.
Yeah.
I've had a couple nights where I think back. There was a big-ass Filipina girl that was trying to get with me after a bar one time. So she was like, I'm going to drive you home, you know, jerk you off, whatever. And then I was like,
did they tell you? She threw that down?
It was like, implied.
I'm going to drive you home and then jerk you off or whatever.
It might have been said. I don't know.
I don't know if I would accept that regardless. Like, there may be no circumstance through which I am not going to just cringe and walk away without saying anything when I hear that.
If you're getting jerked off on the way home.
You're
sitting at a stoplight. Would you rather just sit at a stoplight, make an end conversation, or go?
Is that what it sounds like when you're getting jerked off?
Oh, a little tight. Hey, slow it down over there.
Fuck you, buddy.
Slow it down.
I don't think they hear you.
They have the big oars.
I don't think they care.
We have regulation size oars. You have the big oars.
Yeah, but I just said no.
You guys want any platinums?
Fuck you, buddy. Fuck you. Oh, no,
I think you've already had enough to drink.
This is
get your pole in the water. That's why you're not in your fishing prime, I'll tell you that.
I haven't touched that goddamn thing. I'm afraid as hell I'm gonna catch something.
Well, that maybe that's, you know, relationship life as well, right? I'm afraid I'll catch something.
So I hooked up with my ex.
Emotionally? See, this is how maybe you're inching back to your podcasting prime, because this is how you got yourself into trouble.
Yeah. I hooked up with my ex, and I regret every moment of it because of what happened
really?
Next. Yeah.
Was it not at least pleasurable? Was it at least not a hedonistic joy to
it? No, it was good. I mean, it was good.
Yeah.
In the moment.
As good as you remember or better?
Yeah,
or,
no, better. Better, yeah. It was fun. It was nice and spontaneous. I hadn't seen her in forever.
And you just, wow.
But then, yeah, that was what it was like. And that was about how long it took.
Codfishing.
Yeah. And then you're like, am I... I got a little clingy.
Oh.
I got a little...
You did. What was her reaction to the clingy?
She ghosted. I haven't heard from her.
She not... How many texts you throw at her?
We had a couple of back and forths, but I threw a bunch into the ether. That have not gone... Ether.
Yeah.
That have not been responded to. You make fun of my accent?
No. Well, hey. You can't get, like, aggressive with me on a boat.
That's true.
Yeah. That's, like, one of the rules of fishing. It's like, if you're going to go fishing with a dude, you're going to keep everything cool. You're not going to get too drunk.
Yeah.
Too drunk?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm good. But it made me think, am I clinging to the past? Or do I actually have a connection with this, and this is actually going to make some hay, right? And I'm struggling with that.
Are you living in the past, or was the past really the truth? Were you in your prime?
I don't know. And do I want to now take this and try and get into my stride?
Well, that's the thing. My wife was in my past.
Mm-hmm.
But she helped me hit my stride.
Yeah. And I thought that's what I wanted. And I say I regret it because in hindsight, like, you know, I got nothing coming at me now. Right, and I thought, well, this is finally, we're going to finally work this out, and we're going to, you know, maybe it'll go somewhere.
Yeah.
We'll try it out. And that's my fear with this, with the Kings, right? I'm trying to relive the glory days, and this shit is just...
Well, we did. I mean, last show, it's obvious.
We got dumped, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Do we try and find someone else to pick this up and try and make something of us? Take this clay and... Or is it just like... Just fucking...
Over. Time
just
to
fucking
move on.
Hit our strides. Sit on boats.
Or maybe, hey, there's enough beers. There's enough podcasts out there.
People are pretty entertained.
If you go out there to Stitcher, you go out there to your iTunes, you go out there to Zune, you're gonna find good shit to listen to if you know where to look. So, do we have to be a part of that menu? There's already so much.
Is that alcohol in your boat?
No.
Ditch the shit. Just throw the beers overboard.
Oh
my
God. Throw it over.
How many cans? This boat is going to sink with the amount of beers in here.
Throw it over. Here. Throw it over. Just. Oh, jeez.
All right, relax.
Wait, 1 second.
Tire as kings that once ruled the world.
2, 3, 4, the pods and the files.